20, Crisis of Faith. David had turned into a recluse, it seemed to Bobby. He would come to the Wormworks unannounced, perform obscure experiments, and return to his apartment, where, according to Our World records, he continued to make extensive use of Wormcam technology, pursuing his own obscure, undeclared projects. After 3 weeks, Bobby sought him out. David met him at his door, seemed on the point of refusing to let him in. Then he stood aside. The apartment was cluttered, books and soft screens everywhere, a place where a man was living alone, habits unmoderated by consideration of others.
"What the hell happened to you?"
David managed to smile.
"The worm cam, Bobby.
What else?" "Heather said you assisted her with the Lincoln Project."
"Yes,
that was what gave me the bug, perhaps. But now I have seen too much history."
"Ach, I am a bad host. Would you like a drink, some beer?"
"Come on, David, talk to me." David rubbed his blonde scalp.
"This is called a crisis of faith, Bobby. I don't expect you to understand."
In fact, Bobby, irritated, did understand, and he was disappointed with the mundanity of his brother's condition. Every day, Wormcam addicts, hooked on history, beat on Our World's corporate doors, demanding ever more cam access. But then, David had isolated himself. Perhaps he didn't know how much a part of the human race he remained, how common his addiction had become. But how to tell him? Bobby said carefully,
"You're suffering history shock. It's a fashionable condition right now. It will pass."
"Fashionable, is it?"
David glowered at him.
"We're all feeling the same."
He cast around for examples. "I watched the premiere of Beethoven's Ninth, the Karnertner Theater, Vienna, 1824. Did you see that?" The symphony performance had been professionally recorded and rebroadcast by one of the media conglomerates, but the ratings had been poor.
"It was a mess. The playing was lousy, the choir discordant. The Shakespeare was even worse."
"Shakespeare?
You really have been locked away, haven't you? It was the premiere of Hamlet at the Globe in 1601. The playing was amateurish, the costumes ridiculous, the crowd a drunken rabble, the theater not much more than a thatched cesspit. And the accents were so foreign the play had to be subtitled. The deeper into the past we look, the stranger it all seems. A lot of people are finding the new history hard to accept. Our World is a scapegoat for their anger, so I know that's true. Hiram has been hit by endless suits. Libel, incitement to riot, incitement to provoke racial hatred from national and patriotic groups, religious organizations, families of debunked heroes, even a few national governments. That's aside from the physical threats. Of course, it isn't helping that he's trying to copyright history."
David couldn't help but guffaw.
"You're joking."
"Nope. He's arguing that history is out there to be discovered, like the human genome. If you can patent pieces of that, why not history? Or at any rate, those stretches of it Our World cams have been first to reach. The 14th century is the current test case. If that fails, he has plans to copyright the snowmen, like Robin Hood."
Like many semi-mythical heroes of the past, under the worm cam's pitiless glare, Robin had simply melted away into legend and confabulation, leaving not a trace of historical truth. The legend had stemmed, in fact, from a series of 14th-century English ballads born out of a time of baronial rebellions and agrarian discontent, which had culminated in the Peasants' Revolt of 1381. David smiled.
"I like that. Hiram always did like Robin Hood. I think he fancies himself as a modern equivalent, even if he's deluding himself. In fact, he probably has more in common with King John. How ironic if Hiram came to own Robin."
"Look, David, many people feel just as you do. History is full of horror, of forgotten people, of slaves, of people whose lives were stolen, but we can't change the past. All we can do is move on, resolving not to make the same mistakes again."
"You think so?"
David snapped bitterly. He stood, and with brisk movements he opaqued the windows of his cluttered apartment, shutting out the afternoon light. Then he sat beside Bobby and unrolled a soft screen.
"Watch now, and see if you still believe this so easy."
With confident keystrokes, he initiated a stored Wormcam recording. Side by side, the brothers sat, bathed in the light of other days.